Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Good evening, Rush Nation. Hope you're all well. Apologies, it's just me tonight. Stocks, unfortunately, is still a little bit under the weather. So it is just me. I'm going to quickly go through everything that I've got planned for this evening and talk. So I don't have a guest. Feel free to chime in with any comments or chats or whatever. Apologies for starting a little bit late as well. I have been talking or on video calls, etc., with a day job and etc. for close to 13 hours now. Voice might be going. I'm going to try and be as succinct and as good as possible. But I hope you're well. And I mentioned on yesterday's bonus pod, which we'll get to in a second, it'll be a strategy pod that's going to be tomorrow morning. So that's going to come out tomorrow morning as well, so keep an eye on that. Good thing it's Thursday Night Football is not a barn burner this week. So hope everybody enjoyed the pod yesterday. Bit different, had a couple of requests, thought it would be useful. Feedback I've had so far has been pretty positive, but yeah, would like to hear a bit more and see if that was useful for all of you as well. So let's dive into everything I've got to talk about. So first of all, in terms of if this is the first show, then where have you been? Appreciate you joining in. Appreciate you coming by. And yeah, it's great to always have new listeners. I know we pick up new listeners all the time. I never want to take for granted that we don't get new listeners. At the same point, I don't want everyone to just assume they've been listening for forever. So thank you very much for tuning in. If you're watching this on the live stream, thanks very much. You can download the podcast and listen to it afterwards. If you're not watching on the live stream, why aren't you? You can copy, you can follow it on Twitter or on Facebook or on YouTube. Just a note, as always, that I don't see comments on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it. The platform doesn't pull those through into the panel. It's only on YouTube and Facebook. So if you've ever written on comments on Facebook and wondered why I don't bring them up, that's a good reason why. And you can interact with me on the Twitter machine, X machine, whatever we call it, Elon Musk Playground, at Murph_NFL. I do try and get back to as many queries as I can, especially if you're people I've known you'd be listening for years, but even if you're a new listener, reach out to me. Let me know you're a new listener and I'll get back to you as quick as can. Let's just go into some things that really surprised me for week 9. And the first would definitely be Cole Kmet. So, you know, he scored 2 touchdowns for the second time this season. And it's the fourth time he's done it in the last 2 seasons. But the big thing is his usage. He's gone really through the roof under Tyson Bagent. He's actually had 18 targets in the last 2 weeks with Bagent. He's had 79 receiving yards, 55 receiving yards, which is actually quite impressive for a tight end. And he's had 17.9 fantasy points and 23.5 fantasy points in those weeks. So Cole Kmet, while Tyson Bagent is playing, and it looks like Tyson Bagent is going to play this week, with Justin Fields doubtful. As it currently stands, it looks like another good week to start and fire up Cole Kmet at the position. So make sure you're doing that. It's really interesting with the Patriots right now. So Juju Smith-Schuster had his best game as a Patriot. Six receptions on seven targets, 51 yards. Still not a big volume, right? It's not amazing. The PPR game is 11 points. It's fine. But in any other format, it's not overly startable. DeMario Douglas caught five of his seven targets, 55 yards, and Jalen Reagor was targeted six times. Still think Douglas is the thing. I still think he's the guy they'll go to and use more often. But I was a surprise to see him spread it around as much as they had, especially Reagor's usage and Juju Smith-Schuster's usage. Just keep an eye on that. And then with more QB injuries, Jaren Hall in his first NFL start got injured in the first quarter, rushing for the goal line. And then we lost Daniel Jones for the season as well. So really, really tough time at the moment for quarterbacks. We're really sort of struggling, which kind of points me on to the main learning point. And I've always sort of played fantasy football in this state of, I wouldn't necessarily roster two QBs in a one QB league. And I think we're now getting to the point where you might have to consider it if there's a worthy alternative. And by that, I mean like a Sam Howell, even like a Deshaun Watson. I definitely think they are people that you might have to consider rostering in fantasy football in a 1QB league and having them, because the rate of injuries this year is just supreme. And on top of that, just looking at the landscape of the drop-off now, we're going to have Tommy DeVito is going to start this week for the Jets. He's going to be the 10th rookie quarterback to start, which is an NFL record, right? And we've had some good rookies start this week, so I'm not going to this season, but we got Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson. No one overly surprised. Will Levis, small surprise, but not massive. Then we've had Aiden O'Connell, who isn't lighting the world up at any stretch. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, or DTR, who was dreadful. Tyson Bagent's been surprisingly really good, especially from a fantasy perspective. Clayton Tune, horrible last week. Jaren Hall, lasted a quarter, got injured. And now we've got Tommy DeVito. I mean, the position is as bad as it's ever been in fantasy football. So having that extra roster QB might now, and I'm not saying you should definitely do it, but I think you have to consider it. If you've got an elite option, especially with buys coming up, you're going to have to be really smart in terms of rostering a quarterback for those buys and plan ahead. I'll talk a little bit about this on the strategy pod, because I think it is an area where you could get some advantage. More importantly, some trade bait. You could actually use this as a leverage in a trade if you are rostering two QBs. I would never have done it in a one QB league really before. However, for this season, I think it's starting to get to the point where it's valuable. I'm now going to get into talking about some trends to follow. So in terms of, I do this every week. If you're not familiar, I pick out all the stat lines, everything I can find, and there's more out there on the internet. But these are the ones I found the most interesting and things to trend and look at going forward. I feel this is a really important process to identify for start sits, but also looking at potential buy low, sell high candidates as well. So going to go through some of these. Jonathan Taylor is going to be first up, 76% of snaps. He ran routes on 75% of snaps. And he also had significant, what we call high value touches. He had six of those. So we're now talking about, with the way that this team plays up tempo, we see a lot of plays in this team. We're starting to talk about Jonathan Taylor potentially being a top five, top six running back for the rest of the season if this trend continues. So it's a good time to just start him with confidence, and at the same time, fading Zach Moss out into the sunset. And if you can get a decent price for selling him, especially with the desperation at the position. That's something you should really be considering. I think you might be a week too late, but definitely see if you can still try and push him somewhere. Let's talk about Taysom Hill. He's had some phenomenal weeks as of late. He had a career-high 42% rush attempt share on Sunday. He's getting loads of red zone work at the moment in all facets. So he's getting it throwing, he's getting it receiving, and he's getting it rushing, which is just wild, really. But ultimately, he is throwing and catching TDs, especially in this game. That's exactly what he did. But he's a huge red zone weapon. He's almost a banker to get into the touch to the end zone most weeks. So with that, because of the fact he's effectively likely to get in the touchdown every week, he is a starter in fantasy football at the tight end position. The fact you can play him at tight end is a real luxury. With the position really in a bad spot, you can start him every week and you should. A point on this, and I've talked about this quite a bit this season, that projections are really, really bad, probably the worst ever. Taysom Hill's projections on Sleeper are absolutely gross. They're like 2 to 4 points. Just ignore that, because people are following those blindly and as a result aren't starting Taysom Hill. He's put up 20 plus points the last 3 weeks. You've got to start him. Ultimately, you've got to start Taysom Hill in most formats of fantasy football. Let's talk about T. Higgins. I know he's banged up. I know he's not practicing at the moment, but fingers crossed that happens. But he had a season-high 110 yards, nearly scored a touchdown as well in this game. And he looks, I put in the notes, he looked a lot healthier on Sunday, and he did. But obviously now it turns out he is banged up. I do think that he is a bye candidate. Yes, especially with this injury, we're hoping it's not too big a setback. The fact that he hasn't been ruled out says it's not going to be a big thing. He might have to sit this week. I think T. Higgins is a real buy low candidate. I think he's someone that a current fantasy manager might just want to ship out, not happy with the production they're getting there. So that's what I'd potentially look at. Another buy low candidate I want to talk about, I haven't really put stats on him this week because there wasn't too much to talk about, is DK Metcalf. I think we're prime. DK Metcalf in half point PPR, I think, is the wide receiver 46. I wrote this up for Fantasy Pros. It should be dropping tonight, tomorrow. But he has an incredible matchup this week. He has the best matchup on the board. I could see DK Metcalf potentially, and I'm not saying he is, but potentially could put up a wide receiver 1 week. If you're looking to acquire a wide receiver that's heavily underperformed, that might have some really good games up ahead, if they can put it together, DK Metcalf. And if you can get him in your lineup for Sunday, even better, because I think he is going to potentially have a very, very good week. That buy low window could shut on Sunday if he does have this great week, that it could happen with this matchup that he's got. So I would be looking. He's up against Emmanuel Forbes of Washington. People think Washington, you know, not a bad defense. Ultimately, Emmanuel Forbes is the worst cornerback in the NFL when it comes to fantasy points given up per route run against him, per target route run against him. So ultimately, what you want to look at is this a great matchup. It's an opportunity to have Emmanuel Forbes be destroyed by DK Metcalf and have that. Starks, how are you feeling? I didn't think you were joining. I've been saying you're not been feeling too well.
I'm all right. I had a bit of trouble with bedtime with the lad, so it just took me over and jumped on as soon as I could.
Oh, my friend. Well, it's good to have you. I've been rattling through the show, Doc, and the one thing I hadn't done, because this is what happens when you let me run loose, is do our read for Manscaped. And I've got to say, the beard's looking tip top. I see you've had a bit of a trim since the last time I saw you on camera as well.
Well, it was my anniversary on Monday, so it would have been remiss of me to not had a strong beard game for our anniversary. So yeah, obviously the Manscaped products definitely came in handy for that. I used the hedge trimmer to start with because it was a little bit unruly. Then I used what did I use next? Did I go straight in with the handyman, or was there a little bit of no, I think I got it short enough with the hedge trimmer that the handyman tidied up the rest of the stubble.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And got me looking all fleek for my anniversary Monday. So, yeah.
Happy anniversary. Did you have a good one? What did you do
it? It was all right. It was pretty chill. We just went up. We're lucky enough that up the road from us, we got a big manor house that does afternoon teas. So we just took a stroll up there, literally walked, which was nice. Then not to walk anywhere anymore, so we walked up the road and had an afternoon tea for lunch. It was nice. It was good just to spend a bit of time, me and her, considering we don't normally get, as a parent nowadays, two time is very rare, especially with Emma studying at uni and both of us having full-time jobs now. It's difficult. So yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
I hear you, my friend. I hear you. So do check out, if you want to look box fresh like stocks, do check out manscaped.com. Use the code 5YARD for 20% off plus free shipping. Make sure you do that. I can't rate it high enough. I did mine at the weekend as well. I've seen the in-laws. Thought I'd tidy myself up as well. So I used a combination of the hedge trimmer and the handyman to get it done. I might use the handyman. I'm starting to get a bit strong here. You can't see it because I've got a bare head, but ultimately, I might be going ahead and doing that as well. So make sure you check that out as well. So I was just talking about, I talked about things that surprised me, Cole Kmet, et cetera, injuries, quarterbacks, talk about potentially rostering two QBs in a one QB league now because the drop-off is so, so bad with Tommy DeVito starting on Sunday, being the 10th rookie to start at the position this season, which is an NFL record, and then started going through some of the statistical trends. I've covered off Taylor, Taysom Hill, Higgins. Is there anything you want to add? Is there anything you've seen this week or in fantasy that you think is relevant before we dive back onto the train?
I think for me, it's just obviously you mentioned the quarterbacks. It's brutal out there right now, and it's good. It's not only brutal. I mean, the amount of times. My strategy this year was to go for the mid-range quarterback, the start of the mid-range quarterbacks, and invariably that was Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins. So quite a lot of my teams have been decimated. And then if it was a two quarterback league, there was often a lot of Jared Goff in there as well. And obviously he was on bye last week. So a lot of my two quarterback or super flex teams last week, I started one quarterback. And in, I think, at least three places, that was Jaren Hall, because he was the only fella available on waivers. And, I mean, he played four snaps or something like that, didn't he? And then was done. So
it was brutal. He was running for the end zone. So he broke free. He was running for the end zone. I think he played about 8 minutes. Obviously, not entirely, because the offense and the defense, but I think it was about 8 minutes in, maybe slightly less. It was definitely in the first quarter, and he was running to the end zone, and he got hit, and that was the end of that. And then we watched Josh Dobbs absolutely just ball out, which it's interesting because a lot of people want to give Josh Dobbs a bit of hate. He's not really a great quarterback, but you've got to understand, he got traded on Tuesday or Monday night or Tuesday, whatever it was. He'd had 2 days with the team. He'd moved. He had to relocate. So he obviously not packed everything up and moved, but he's had to effectively move into a hotel. So he's not in a house. Or if he is in a house, it's unfurnished. It's not familiar. It's not home. Like, so he's effectively staying in some form of accommodation. Goes with the team. Has no practice. Not practice with any of these guys. He's had to sort himself out. So he's had no practice with the team. And then he's come on and won a game. I mean, it's a phenomenal effort. And regardless of what people think of Joshua Dobbs as a player or his fantasy level or his skill level or whatever, it, the guts and determination and heart to pull that out is nothing short of incredible. Like, nothing short of incredible. There aren't many people that can do what he did on Sunday, especially as it's a game-winning drive. They're down four late. They score with less than a minute left. I mean, it's an unbelievable effort. It really, really is. Like, I don't like the term superhuman, but I would almost put it in that bracket. I think it's an impressive performance that has been lost, I think, in the media of this week. And I think, you know, shout out to Josh Dobbs. It was an incredible performance. And if you haven't watched it, go back and watch it.
I've seen reports that he was getting plays read to him as the clock was ticking down before his mic was disabled. Plays that he didn't even really know were being relayed to him in his helmet. And then he was just... I mean, the guy worked for NASA, so he's obviously pretty smart. But, yeah, we see Kyler this week. He could be really rusty. And he's been in and around that team. Yes, granted, he hasn't played football and Josh Dobbs has. But like you say, what Josh Dobbs has done in effectively 2.5-3 days compared to somebody who's been around the team whilst being injured is phenomenal. A game-winning drive after essentially being in that job for, what we talking, 15 hours, 20 hours, something like that.
I don't even think he was in the job. I don't even think you can say that, because he didn't take the field with the team. Again, he's relocated. He's gone from Arizona to Minnesota. It's not a short journey. It's not like he's popped down the road. It's not like he can travel back between the two. It's ultimately he's had to pack some stuff in the case, travel. And listen, I know it's the NFL. I know he's not traveled on a bus, and I know that it's not like he's slumming it somewhere. Like, I appreciate he's in pretty decent digs wherever he is. But ultimately, he's not in a home. He's not had time to acclimatize to a city he doesn't know, where he doesn't know anybody. You know, it's not like he knows a load of people and he's got a support network around him. He doesn't know anyone. He might know a couple of members of the team, but I don't think he knows that many, if any at all. And then it's all about rhythm and timing. He's got none of that. He's literally played backyard ball. He's literally just picked it up with a bunch of guys and just and done his best. And it's a phenomenal effort. And I think, you know, I like stories like that, because it's just, you don't see it enough. Some, and for the most part, good. But and then when it comes to Kyler, I share a slightly different view with you. I think it is very different for Kyler. He's on his, what, third head coach now, with a third different scheme. I almost think in some ways it's harder, because whilst Josh Dobbs didn't expect to play, he suited up because he was the only other quarterback fit. I mean, he got to the point that if Josh Dobbs had got injured, then Cam Akers was listed as the emergency quarterback, and then he got injured in the game. So I don't actually know what would have happened had Joshua Dobbs got injured, because I don't know who then would have been the designated quarterback. I imagine it would have been Alexander Mattison, and I imagine it would have been some, I don't know what it would have been. Well, we saw a couple of instances with this, because we also saw with the Texans in the Buccaneers game.
I was just gonna ask you, what's more impressive, Joshua Dobbs coming on and playing quarterback, or Dare Ogunbowale kicking a field goal and then kicking a kickoff through the end zone?
I still think it's Josh Dobbs, because I think,
me too.
I mean, look, I'm not disputing what Dare Ogunbowale did was great, and it's against his old team. He was a captain on that team. He knows a lot of those players. It's an emotional thing. There's a lot of things going through his head, and like, but fair play. But ultimately, he's taking a kick, and it's about timing and fair play. You know, he had some warm-ups and stuff in halftime, and he went out there and he did it. And it is much more difficult in the game. But effectively, it was also a shot to nothing. It's, if he misses the field goal, it doesn't ultimately, it actually did in the end, because that was the margin of victory. But effectively, no one expected him to make it, and they didn't trust him to take extra points. So it was kind of like, it's a shot to nothing. He's got a zero pressure environment. Whereas Josh Dobbs, there wasn't much expectation, Actually, there was, because one, he's a quarterback. He touched the ball a lot more. He has played this season. The other thing you have to consider with Josh Dobbs is he, in the back of his mind, knows he can't get hurt because there is no other quarterback on that roster because the rest of them are now injured or on IR. So it's in the back of his head. He's like, I've got a shot to nothing here in the sense of no one's expecting me to do anything. But at the same token, if I don't play to a level, I'm going to get injured. So he had no choice but to play to a game speed, whether that's the correct game speed with the rest of the team. But he couldn't take it easy, because if you take it easy at quarterback, you get hit and then you get hurt. So it's not like he could just like go, oh, well, you know, I'll take it easy. Because taking it easy is actually worse in that environment because you get injured. So that to me is why it's so much more impressive, because he has to play at a game speed level that it still might not be equal to everybody else, but it has to be equal enough to where he's not getting injured. So I think it's a phenomenal effort. It hasn't been talked about enough for me this week, but there you go. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And actually, you know, I'll bring him up. I'll segue it back to going through some of the stats with Josh Dobbs. And ultimately, he's interesting now when we talk about fantasy quarterbacks. I'm not saying you should go out and add him, but ultimately, if you've got the choice between Josh Dobbs, Tommy DeVito, Aiden O'Connell, you know, there isn't really much. Like, we're at the point where we're sort of dragging our feet here with the remaining quarterbacks. Even someone like Mac Jones, I'd probably be adding Joshua Dobbs. So I looked at my rankings. I've got Josh Dobbs this week this is how bad QB is. I got him a QB 16 this week. I actually have him, and I'm going to get some hate for this. I actually have him above Will Levis and Deshaun Watson, just because he will run around. That's ultimately it. I've just taken it on the rushing yard floor.
Do you think he's going to run around knowing there's no one else, though? Or...
what do you mean?
Like, is Jaren Hall back?
No, he's playing.
That's what I mean. So if Jaren Hall isn't back, who's the other quarterback? Who's going to be behind Joshua Dobbs?
That is a great question. So if I go onto the Minnesota Vikings depth chart.
Because, like you say, yes, he has a mobility upside, but is he going to be allowed to run around if there is no one else?
Well, Jaren Hall hasn't officially been ruled out, so he's listed officially as questionable. I think that's his game. I think that's what you've taken him on. I think you're looking at that and thinking they probably will let him go. And if not, yeah, I imagine it'll be Alexander Mattison or Ty Chandler that'll be playing quarterback if he goes down. It's so bad, like, what's going on at the quarterback position. I mean, like, Carson Wentz has been signed now to the Rams, and I reckon he's going to get some goes at some point. They're on bye this week, so that's a problem you can kick down the road. But I just think it's crazy what we're seeing at the moment. But, yeah, that's the quarterback position. But the thing with Josh Dobbs is, again, I think the fact that you've got this offense is better than it is in Arizona. So I think you're going to see an increase in passing. I think you're going to see the fact he's got good receivers around him. He'll feel more confident throwing the football. And ultimately, this run game's bad. Like, Alexander Mattison has been horrendous. The only reason he is fantasy relevant is twofold. One, now that Cam Akers is injured, there's Ty Chandler behind him and no one else. So he's going to get the volume. But two, he's just about made about with it with volume / receiving. But he's not been good. His rushing efficiency is arguably as bad as anybody in the NFL. Like on Sunday, he rushed for, let me pull the numbers up. I mean, it was bad. Where can I find it? Oh, I've lost it.
What have you got in front of you?
Well, I was looking at his rushing efficiency for Sunday. I haven't found it. I think it's like 2.8 yards per carry. Is this it?
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, okay. So here we go. He rushed 16 times for 44 yards.
Whoa. That's awful.
Yeah. I mean, he legit has been awful running the football.
He has been so bad.
Yeah, and that's my point. So I think ultimately Josh Dobbs is a reasonably good fantasy ad because they can't rely on the run. Like, at least in Arizona, he had James Conner. He'll bring a certain amount of rushing floor, and then he has got Jordan Addison, and then eventually he's going to have Justin Jefferson. Not this week, maybe next week, maybe not. We'll see what happens. But ultimately, he's going to have additional volume of receivers that are light years ahead of what he had in Arizona. So I think, ultimately, I look at Josh Dobbs and think he is a QB 15, QB 16 rest of the season. And that is a damning indictment on the rest of the position. But also, at the same point, he's not going to be completely terrible. So, yeah, ultimately, Josh Dobbs is worth picking up. So I just thought I'd pick that one. Thought I'd just mention that one and bring us back to some of these trends for this week. Chuba Hubbard is the lead back. Miles Sanders is borderline droppable now, but I wouldn't just yet. I'd just see what happens. 63% of snaps he played, 20 touches, which was good, but the efficiency's been pretty ropey, I think it's fair to say. So let's see what happens. I think if he doesn't have a good rushing game again this week, what I mean by efficiency is that yards per carry, right? If he's down at around about 3-ish. So I think, again, if this continues to trend, we'll see tonight, then I think ultimately it could go back to Miles Sanders, which is why I'm saying don't quit on Miles Sanders just yet, but it doesn't look good. Dalton Kincaid, 11 targets. So his second game without Dawson Knox in the lineup, his ADOT was pretty low, 3.8. And I talked about this last week as a trend that ultimately, when Dawson Knox went out, the short yardage stuff went to Kincaid and it went to Gabe Davis. But Davis didn't get anything. He got absolutely none of the short yard stuff. So it looks like, the Bills, whereas last week they kind of shared around the Dawson Knox role, it's all going exclusively to Kincaid. So Kincaid to the moon while Dawson Knox is out, and that might be the end of Dawson Knox as a fantasy asset in Buffalo, in the tight end in Buffalo potentially. But ultimately, whereas I was thinking last week there's some usage with Gabe Davis short, that didn't happen. And now it's interesting because Khalil Shakir had a reasonable game. Is Gabe Davis going down the depth chart a little bit because he didn't get a lot of targets? He got no catches on Sunday, or was it a game script thing? And I think they don't jump to too many conclusions because this is the Bills. They always like to mix it up, but it's one to monitor. It's one to keep an eye on.
I have effectively picked the anti Gabe Davis week every week this year.
It's more easily done than it should be allowed to be. That's one thing I would say.
He's murdered me. I have not. Last week, I had, I think, my worst fantasy week ever in the history of me playing fantasy football. I won one league. I had one win out my entire everything I have. I had one win.
That's brutal.
Yeah, best balls, you name it, I had one win. Wow. And I also had my first 0.01 loss.
Oh, God, that is
rough. Yeah. But, I mean, it's nice to have that scorigami ticked off. But...
Oh, God, no, it's not. But, no one ever wants that scorigami. I was going to go back to the Minnesota Vikings quickly, and I talked about Ty Chandler. He becomes a handcuff option, so he's definitely worth picking up in leagues because now with Cam Akers on IR, you can pick up Chandler. Don't be too surprised if he starts to get involved in games. Couple of running backs to talk about here. Jerome Ford. So, again, people were jumping on this bandwagon of Kareem Hunt. He's going to be the real thing, and he's going to challenge Jerome Ford. And I've been really consistent. I just didn't see it. Like, They didn't even sign Kareem Hunt to a contract. They promoted Jerome Ford above him. Jerome Ford was going to be the lead back. I'm not saying Kareem Hunt isn't a thing. Like, he is. He's in this. They've always had two backs, but they were always going to lead with Ford. And we saw this on Sunday, 64% of snaps, 61% of routes run. And he is the clear lead back. It's not close. So Kareem Hunt takes a step back now that Ford is more fit. Pierre Strong, not a thing. Yeah, you can roster him as a handcuff, but I don't see him having too much of a role unless somebody's going down hurt. So there's better handcuffs for me to own than Pierre Strong, sorry. Good to see Aaron Jones back to his best. 58% of snaps, which is about where he plays, that 58 to 60, somewhere between 55 and 60 is where he plays. So he was right in that range. That says to me he's at full health. 53% of routes, 24 touches and 99 yards. So, yeah, great day for Aaron Jones owners. We might start to see something out of him yet. The one I'm really excited about is Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson got his first touchdown in the regular season for almost 2 years. He's too good a player to have waited that long. I mean, that's another reason to fire Matt Canada, but yeah, he's. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. If you're a George Pickens owner, ta-da, he is done. It's all about Deontay Johnson. I think he could potentially be putting up some career numbers rest of season. So I'm bullish. Another, I think the buy low window shut on Deontay Johnson. But if you did get him and believed that something could happen, yeah, all for him. Do you have much Deontay Johnson, mate?
I have a little bit. My exposure's not massive. Trouble is, he's on the same teams where I had Cousins, and I tried to spread bet my teams this year and not have, because whatever happens in drafts, we talked about this, I tend to end up with the same guys, even though I don't try to. So yeah, the teams where I've had Deontay have struggled because of other injuries, but it is nice to have him back to block some of those injury holes that are starting to build up, which is nice. But I haven't got too much, but I've got enough to be excited about the return, but not too much that I'm very excited, if that makes sense.
No, that's fair. Definitely. Let's talk about some wide receivers here from week 11. DeAndre Hopkins, he had a big day, 11 targets, 158 yards. He had 134 yards the week before against Levis. This week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and a secondary that just seemed to just completely, I don't know what happened. Did they play? I'm not sure. It was it just like those inflatable man figures that you sort of wave up and go like that in the air? I argue they probably would have been just as effective as Carlton Davis and Jamal Dean were on Sunday. So yeah, I'd fire up Nuke Hopkins this week. He's up against Jamal Dean, who literally was on toast. Everyone had him on toast last week. So, yeah, it should be another good week for Will Levis and DeAndre Hopkins. He's currently wide receiver 24. I'd expect him to break the top 20 this week. And he is sneaky, sort of low-end wide receiver one if they get on track early. But that is one of the best wide receiver cornerback matchups on the board. I wrote about that Fantasy Pros, which would drop later on tonight or tomorrow morning. Speaking of Jamal Dean, because let's keep the Jamal Dean horror show going. He was supposed to be covering Tank Dell on Sunday. Did he? No. It's a short answer. 222 AR yards, which is the second most in week 9. Tank Dell is clearly arrowing up, and it ties in nicely with the Texans' pass rate over expected. They were 5.5% over expected in terms of passing. It was a wild game. It went back and forth, high scoring, 37-34. They went down with a minute to go, launched it downfield, got a touchdown. It was 46 seconds on the clock when they got the ball. So ultimately, they marched down the field and scored because the Buccaneers put no resistance up. And
I think it was three plays, wasn't it? Three plays, yeah, 46.
It was three or four plays. It wasn't many at all. One was the big one out wide. And then Tank Dell scored the winning touchdown. It wasn't a lot. I mean, it didn't take much to happen. And ultimately, you know, when we look at this, it was a rookie performance by CJ Stroud. Most passing yards ever thrown by a rookie broke Andrew Luck's record. But ultimately, the passing rate over expected, we've talked about them just letting CJ Stroud cook and let him throw. That's clearly what they're continuing to do. The run game's pretty much abandoned. So, yeah, a huge pass rate over expected here by the Texans. And then also just going back to wide receivers, Garrett Wilson. Listen, we know that Zach Wilson is not great, and we know that it's a huge hit for Garrett Wilson that he's getting the ball from Zach Wilson, but he has posted 12 targets in 4 of his last 5 games. So volume is great. He's still a fantasy play going forward. Yes, he doesn't have this high ceiling because he's got Zach Wilson throwing him the ball, but Garrett Wilson is still a sort of wide receiver 3, low end wide receiver 2 play, purely just on the volume that he gets.
Oh yeah, I found out an interesting fact today, Murph, that you might enjoy. When Denver built the new Mile High right next to the old Mile High Stadium, when you see the picture of the two, because they did what Tottenham Hotspur did, where they built the stadium on basically the same ground, and they had the corner off the old one and the corner off the new one while they built the final lapping bit on the new one. How many more seats do you think the new Mile High has than the old Mile High?
Is this a trick question? It has less?
No. Okay. It's not a trick question.
I don't know, like 18 more?
Well, that's not a bad guess. It's 2. So they got 2 more seats. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I am. It's just absolutely... A random post popped up on my Facebook feed today, and I thought, oh, I'll read that. And people were saying, well, if you actually look at the old stadium, the concourses were tiny. Getting in and out was a nightmare. There wasn't enough toilets, which is why the new Mile High looks much bigger. But yeah, there's only 2 more seats in the stadium than the old Mile High.
I thought
that was quite interesting. Like, how do you only add 2 more? Like, how does that even happen? It's not really a round square number, is it, or anything that's useful for building to? It's not, yeah. So there you go. You can save that one.
I love it. That's awesome. I love stuff like that. Quirky stuff like that, I'm a big fan of. Right. I've got a few more of these, and then any other business, and then we can wrap this up. I've talked about Jeff Wilson. I said he was a sort of person to add, but we know Devon Achan is coming back. Jeff Wilson is at 17% of snaps, so he's behind Salvon Ahmed. You can drop Wilson. He is not going to be a thing. Devon Achan, they're on bye this week. I expect Devon Achan to, if not back next week, the week after. Either way, Jeff Wilson's not going to be fantasy relevant he's not this week. I don't think he's going to be fantasy relevant next week, even if Devon Achan is back. And then Devon Achan is back, and he's definitely not going to be fantasy relevant. So if you're holding on to Jeff Wilson, hoping for the moon, he's going to need 2 injuries for him to be relevant, maybe even 3. So, you can get rid of Wilson now. He's not going to be a thing for the rest of the season. So he's clogging up a spot. Go ahead and get rid of him. Another player you can get rid of is Michael Mayer. Now, I talked about him glowingly, the volume is going the right way. But there's been changes, right? Coaching changes happened. They got rid of Josh McDaniels. Then they made a quarterback change, and they got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. He's been benched. So he's back down to 60% of routes under the new staff. Austin Hooper's up to 40%. So they're in a bit of a timeshare, but ultimately under Aidan O'Connell, he's just not getting the volume. I think Michael Mayer might have 1 good week potentially if all conditions and everything goes right. I don't have too much faith that he's going to be utilized and used all that much. Having said that, you could hold him for this week because Devontae Adams has a horrendous matchup. Devontae Adams has scored under 10 fantasy points in 4 of the last 5 games.
Yeah.
So
I hate that.
You might want to hold him this week. And if it doesn't work out this week with Devontae Adams having one of the worst matchups he's going to have all season, if he doesn't produce this week, then you can cut him. but it's a struggle. But obviously, we couldn't predict what was going to happen with all those changes happening. Excuse me. Speaking of change, right? So something that really got me this week, and I said on the Waiver Wire show, I kind of reacted. And the thing with doing a Waiver Wire show is you're reacting to what's happening and you haven't had all the time to process everything and rewatch things and excuse me, look at the data and go through all of that. So ultimately, I said that Keontae Mitchell is potentially an RB3 with RB1 upside if something happens to Gus Edwards going forward. And I didn't really think too much about Justice Hill, but ultimately Justice Hill, and I looked at this, I didn't see this data. I watched this game, but it's really hard to kind of get a view on the snap counts when you're watching it back, but that's why I wait for the data. He played on 61% of the snaps. Now, it was a freak game because they jumped out so far ahead of Seattle. They basically, Gus Edwards scored 2 touchdowns on 5 carries, and they went, "That's your lot, son. We're going to bench you because you're on a roll." And ultimately, we've won this game. We won it in the first bit of the second quarter, so the game was over. And they benched him for help, just to make sure he stayed fresh, which is a great strategy from an NFL perspective. But I didn't realize Justice Hill played 61% of snaps. Now, Keontae Mitchell looked really good. Like, he looked phenomenal. But ultimately, this belief that that it was going to be just Gus Edwards and Keaton Mitchell going forward might not be true. 61% of snaps is significant. Now, I'm not saying Justice Hill is going to have 61% of snaps every week, because it's a freak game. Gus Edwards didn't play much. But I'm starting to pull the brakes a little bit. I did preface the waiver wire week saying it was a really bad waiver wire week. I hope you didn't. And I said, don't spend more than $5 on Kenton Mitchell, because I don't believe he's got a huge role, because the Gus bus is there, right? So I do think going forward, if you listen to that part, I think all of that kind of makes sense. But I don't think Justice Hill is going anywhere just yet. I can't believe I'm going to mention this, but I am going to talk about Justin Watson. He, Sky Moore has completely disappeared in this offense. He's completely disappeared. He's down to 29% of snaps. And it's Justin Watson who is up to 74% of snaps. So it's weird. I'm not saying pick up Justin Watson at all, because I don't think you should. Unless you're in the deepest of deep leagues, you and I play in some of those, he might be worth rostering. But Sky Moore effectively is not a thing anymore. You can get rid of him in redraft leagues. He can go. He's not going to produce enough this season on 29% of snaps. So he's clearly out of favor. It's Rashi Rice and Justin Watson. That's where they're going with this offense. We're obviously Travis Kelce and everything else. Trying to think where to go next. Is there anyone here that you want to talk about?
Let's talk about Christian Watson, because I have him in a couple of places and it's confusing.
Okay. It's hard because it's a bit of a strange offense, right? Not toot my own horn. I've been saying for weeks, Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs are ahead of Christian Watson. Everyone kind of assumed that, Christian Watson, he had this big second half of the season last year, that he was automatically the guy. But he missed camp. He missed preseason and he missed the start of the season. It's a new quarterback. The quarterback's going to go with what he knows and what he trusts. And he's going to go to the guys he knows and trusts and he's played with. Jordan Love and Christian Watson have not had that much time together. Now, forget Dynasty, because in Dynasty, you got to hold him. But in redraft, it becomes really difficult to play Christian Watson. 2 targets, and they were big routes there. And the fact that he's got the downhill, down the field plays. But ultimately, it's not a high passing offense, and he is the third wide receiver, and he's the fourth receiver behind Luke Musgrave, because he's not played. He missed the first play. He missed all that key part of the season. And he's not going to build enough momentum for the fantasy season unless something radically changes. So I'm of the thinking of, I don't think you can drop Christian Watson, but I don't think you can play him. Having said that, he has a really good matchup this week from a wide receiver cornerback perspective. So this week is pivotal. I wouldn't start him. I don't trust the Green Bay Packers or that offense to use him enough to start him. But ultimately, if he walks away with a great matchup, he's got the best matchup of all the wide receivers in this offense, although Romeo Dubs has a pretty good one too. If he doesn't get enough volume in this matchup where it can be exploited, that says to me he's probably droppable. Because this is the matchup. If you're going to use Christian Watson, this is the week to do it. It's a good matchup. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Cool. And then the only other one on this list that I've got is JSN.
Yeah, so this is why I like to go and watch the games back where I can. I watched quite a bit on the train as I was coming back from my outing yesterday evening. And JSN, so 91% of routes, which is cool, really good. And then I saw like he caught six catches. And I was like, I don't really remember much offense in this game. So, like, I was like, they put up 3 points. So I'm surprised he caught six passes. He caught four in garbage time late in the fourth quarter. So it was like the last couple of drives that effectively he got a load of garbage time points where, being kind, the Ravens, they'd won the game. They played very soft. And points are points, right? I'm not sitting here and disputing the points are points, but ultimately, why that's important as a distinction is that you would look at the stat line, you think, oh, well, JSN was reasonably impactful today, even though the Seahawks stunk. And actually, not the case. He was not in the game until the final 2 minutes, or I think it was about 4 minutes or so. But he effectively was on the periphery of this whole game. And this trends to what I've been saying for weeks, that JSN is just not a guy you can start. Ultimately, this week he has a great matchup, but all the wide receivers in Seattle do. We know that Tyler Lockett is banged up. So if Tyler Lockett is banged up, we might see some more JSN this week. But ultimately, if all three are healthy, JSN, you can't start him. But be interesting to see what happens going towards the end of the season if they do include him more. But the 91% of routes is encouraging. That part is encouraging to know.
I missed, obviously, at the beginning of the show, I missed it. Have you talked about Kyler yet?
Not really. Is there anything particular you want to cover with Kyler?
So, my question is, obviously, people were stashing him and stuff, and with the state of the quarterback landscape right now, it's very, very rough for some people. I have him in a dynasty league in which I don't know whether to start him this week. It's a league where you get a point per completion, which I've been starting Sam Howell fairly reliably for the last few weeks because he's been absolutely slinging it all over the place. Mm-hmm. And he's been putting up. But I've got my three quarterbacks to choose from this week are Kyler, Sam Howell, and Geno. And I'm not entirely sure who to start. And I don't know whether I'm considering Kyler just because he's back.
Wow. Like, that's close. So my quarterback rankings, and it's not fitted to your scoring, it's just the regular quarterback scoring, is Howell at 10, Geno at 11, Kyler Murray at 12.
Perfect, thanks.
So here's what I would say. Using logic, the only reason Kyler's 12 in my rankings is because the quarterback position is trash. Like, we're talking about it's as bad as it's ever been. He's got a reasonable matchup against Atlanta. These are the names I've got after him. Russell Wilson against Buffalo, because you can get at Buffalo, but ultimately he's been awful this season. Baker Mayfield against Tennessee, because Tennessee's D is quite good. Derek Carr, because it's a Taysom Hill offense. Josh Dobbs, Will Levis, because Tampa will pick him off. And then Tyson Bagent against Carolina tonight. And I might even move Bagent up because I just think he's cool. Because the position is just complete trash, so I don't even mind anymore. I'm sitting here thinking, out of, if you've got those three quarterbacks, I just don't think you can start Kyler, given the fact he's not played in almost a year. He could be great. Like, he could be. He has a matchup that could be played reasonably well. They're going to be, but I think.
What about how many rushing attempts have you got Kyler down for this week? Because you also get points per rush.
I haven't got my sheet in front of me. I don't think I've got that many. I think because I'm a bit worried. I think I've got him at about six, maybe seven.
That's 7 points. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he'll have more rushing attempts than Geno Smith and Sam Howell combined.
Yeah, but, yes, but then he might not throw it as many times as Sam Howell does.
He won't throw it anywhere near as much as Sam Howell. That's one thing I will. That's one thing I will tell you. He will not throw the ball anywhere near as much. Sam Howell will throw the ball away a ridiculous amount of time. They're going to be in negative game script most of the way through that game.
And they can't run it anyway.
Yeah. So I expect Geno to be quite conservative to a point. I given your weird scoring, I would say I'd probably look at that and say Kyler Murray from a rushing perspective, or I would look at Sam Howell. Sam Howell's where I'd go. I just think go with what you know. Ultimately, we don't know enough about Kyler Murray in this Jonathan Gannon offense.
I'm lucky enough that I've got a soft matchup, so I don't think it, this is cursed territory right now, but it shouldn't matter which one of the two I start. I should be able to walk away with a dub because I'm playing a guy who's in rebuild. So it should be okay regardless. And I trust Sam Howell now because he's proven himself to me in this league. But
yeah,
tricky one.
I just pulled it up. So I think I put Kyler Murray on. I put Kyler Murray on for 5 rushing attempts. I thought it was slightly more. But yeah, 5 rushing attempts is what I put him on for.
Maybe I'll stay with Howell then. Let Kyler have one more week resting.
I think the thing is, you just don't know what you're going to get. It's a new offense as well. So, yeah. You know, I think that window of 5 to 7 seems good for rushing attempts with Kyler. But yeah, I don't know where. I just kind of feel like starting him in a super flex is a must. Starting him in a 1QB seems risky unless you kind of like you've got. If you took him and you've got Hurts or Tua on bye, then great, you know, happy days. Like your strategy paid off. Or the same way if you did it for the 10 to 13, which is kind of where I was going for. I took an elite QB and then took. So, like, I got quite a bit of Josh Allen, I got quite a bit of, and then quite a bit of Hurts, and got a little bit of Tua, and a little bit of Kirk Cousins, right? So, ultimately, when I switched strategies, but in all those leagues, I got Kyler as my QB2, knowing that the bye was going to be late and thinking he'd be back by week 8. All right, it's week 10, but ultimately, he's come in time for when I needed him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fair. Is that the doc done, brother?
Is there anything else interesting other than Jahar Dotson starting to see an uptick? So worth keeping an eye on that one. Solid, not great performances, but he's one to keep an eye on. A lot of that is precursor by Curtis Samuel is slightly banged up. And that Jalen Tolbert is a thing, which is interesting. And they've got a good matchup this week. So keep an eye on Jalen Tolbert, especially over Gallup. If you're holding Gallup for whatever reason in the redraft league, might be a super deep league, I'd go and add Tolbert over Gallup because he's getting some more work. But ultimately, just keep an eye on that. He's been efficient. Nice. So I got him on a watch list. See what happens. That's it. That's what I got for this week.
Nice. This has been, I think these last 2 weeks have been the most season-defining 2 weeks of my fantasy football career. I've had so many leagues blown up over the last 2 weeks. Just injuries have murdered me, and I've happened in. I've been tooth and nail to get to where I am, and I just I've been paling out that boat, and the hole is now so big that they're sunk. I can't pale fast enough. And it's I had a conversation with somebody the other day about how this point of the fantasy season can be really draining if you've been grinding hard and it hasn't been going your way. Mm-hmm. It can be, and you can see why the more casual player starts to give up at this point, because if it just hasn't gone your way and you've struggled for the season, it is brutal. And then
I think the way I would look at this season, right, is I said this before the season. I said it week one. I felt that there was a lot of value to be had. I felt that players were wildly underprojected and wildly overprojected. And I think that if you, and the lesson I would take from this, not necessarily for myself, but for fantasy players, if you are relying on Twitter consensus to tell you how to tech a team, you're going to fail. And that, I've always maintained that belief, which is why I get so engrossed in the game. It's also why I did the pod on Wednesday talking about the stats to know, because people ask me, they want to get better and they want to know what's important when coming up with what stats do I look at when I'm looking at projections, when I'm looking at buy low trends, sell high trends, etc. Those sorts of things. And so I did a whole pod where I talked about all the stats that I personally think about. Other analysts, other things might have different opinions, right? And that's fine. And I think you should collate as many opinions as you can. I'm open to that idea of collating opinions.
Mm.
But the decision-making process has to be your own. You have to decide what value, what delta you want to go for and what you value. We talked about a number of players that were grossly undervalued in this market by groupthink. Adam Thielen, Brian Robinson. I know he's tailed off a bit, but ultimately, we're talking about halfway through the season, he was a top 12 fantasy player here. You know, we talked about a number of players who were grossly undervalued and a ton of players that were grossly overvalued. Chris Olave. Garrett Wilson, Bijan Robinson. I never drafted Bijan Robinson. I didn't take him anywhere. Just didn't. I did not trust. He was at such a high cost. I did not see how he could ever retain the cost. And I'm not blaming people for taking him at all. Like, if you believed that he was going to be that player, then you had to take him. I'm not doubting the talent, but it's more than talent. It's more about, you have to rely on so many things. So many things had to go his way for him to be the RB3 where he's being drafted at the end. Like, everything had to break his way. There was just too many things. The same with Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs was overdrafted. Like, we talked about this. We talked about it on this show, that David Montgomery was the most archetypal back that the Lions could have got as a replacement for Jamal Williams. And they already told us how they were going to play. They've never hidden that. They never denied it. So if you went in drafting Jahmyr Gibbs as a top 12 running back, people fall in love with the talent. And I get it. I want to draft the most talented players. But drafting the most talented players doesn't always work. Yes, it does if you've got a Justin Jefferson, for example. But at the running back position, drafting the most talented player doesn't always work, because the situations alone can prevent that. And that's where you've got to have a bit more understanding and a bit more, I don't want to say nous, but a little less naivety, I think is where I would say is. I think too many people, we talked about so much about going for the consensus. And I shared in a couple of groups this week the consensus on my Scott Fishbowl team, right? So my Scott Fishbowl team was universally unpopular. People didn't like it. People didn't get it. People thought it was a blah team. It was kind of, yeah. The projections had it to finish last in its division. I was projected to finish in the bottom 100 of the Scott Fishbowl, with three different ranking algorithms all had me in the bottom 100 or bottom 150. Right? I'm 15-3 and I'm top of my division in points. And not much has grossly changed. The only fundamental changes on that team are Jimmy G's gone for Aiden O'Connell. That hasn't really benefited me in any way whatsoever. If anything, that's a downgrade. Jordan Mason went for a kicker. And I think I changed the wide receiver. And Gus Bus, I had the Gus Bus. I took the Gus Bus in that draft. And he has elevated upwards because of the injury to J.K. Dobbins. That's really the only... And I haven't started him every week. And I've missed out on a couple of his spike weeks. So I liked my build a lot more than everyone else did. I never predicted I'd win the division. Far from it. I'm not sitting here preaching that my way was the best way of doing it. Far from that, because I don't believe that. But I always believed my team was much better than what people thought it was. And that's my point, is if you take all of this information to heart, the sleeper projections, the ADP, if you draft on ADP this year, you've gone grossly awry. Because the ADP was off. It was badly off. We talked about it, we highlighted it. And if you saw that or understood it, you've done quite well. Ultimately, you've done quite well. You probably have quite good teams. If you've survived the injury apocalypse or et cetera. But I think the lessons to be learned aren't that your strategy was wrong. It was, did you trust your own gut? If you haven't done well, did you trust your own gut and process? And if you didn't, that's fine. Like, it's a learning exercise. No one's going to kill you for it. It's your team. But I think the lesson I would take from this is take big ownership from your team. It's great that you listen to pods. It's great that you ask questions. It's great that you ask picks. But I find pick questions the most annoying because it doesn't tell people why. Like, if someone asked me, start this player over this player, and they only cared about the answer, that's irrelevant. Like, what's the point? What have you gained from that conversation?
Yeah.
Ask the question. Well, the follow-up question is, why would you do it? And they'll tell you why I'd have that player. And I get some start-sit questions, and they're literally players that are right next to each other in the rankings. And I'm like, you could go either. And they're like, well, that's not helpful. Well, if I've got them right next to my rankings, it means I've got a very small point differential.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't have a strong opinion. It's like asking me, if you're asking me to pick between the wide receiver 36 and the wide receiver 37, that's probably less than a fantasy point. I have no strong opinion. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Because for me, I don't think you can get that decision wrong. And ultimately, if one goes off and one doesn't, you'll sit there and go, well, it was wrong. But it's about a process. Ultimately, you can't control it. It's not all done on paper. But I'm not going to sit there and put my name to that as a start-sit decision and go, it doesn't matter. Go with the upside. Yeah. Is how I always go. Go with the upside. Go with the one you think could hit the ceiling.
Yeah. It's the same as asking Sam Howell or Kyler Murray or Geno when you've got them 1, 2, 3 in your rankings. So.
Absolutely. They're literally like, but... I would preface that by saying that I wouldn't play Kyler in most circumstances because you don't know what you're going to get. Whereas you know what you're going to get with the other two. Geno Smith will bring the safer floor. Sam Howell will bring a better ceiling.
Yeah, it's one of those. Anyone starting Kyler this week has to. I think it's...
Oh, 100%. Anyone that starts Kyler Murray this week has to do it. And I've got to start him in a couple of places. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay starting him. Yeah. I've got him at QB12. I don't have a problem with it. But I have to be prepared for the fact that he could be awful.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Yeah. I've accepted that because the alternative is Aiden O'Connell or worse.
So or okay, no alternative.
I have in one league, I've got no alternative. So it's like, that's fine. I'll throw that out there because I have no alternative. I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And you know, if that's the situation you're in, that's the situation in. It's not a start sit decision, it's a start decision. It's you know, there's no sit option, so you've just got to do it, and that's fine.
It's one of those, but that's really nice just start. Yeah,
it's just start decision. Nice easy one.
Yeah, go get that. Go get those easy ones because there's not many of those.
It is there a quarterback. Really, I don't think there's any start sit decisions at quarterback this week.
Yeah, tough. Cool. Well, should we do it? Should we wrap up?
We should.
Excellent stuff. Well, Murph, I'm glad I managed to jump on and join you there to go through the rest of your knowledge, because it was helpful as always. I enjoy jumping on and getting your brain matter to dissolve my problems of fantasy football every week, because it does help. It really does. Rush Nation, don't forget Manscaped if you want to look as box fresh as Murph and I do with our stubble-less faces, thanks to the handyman. Head over to manscaped.com and then use the code 5yard at checkout for 20% off and free shipping. Follow Murph on X if you're still on X. Murph, is X even still a thing anymore? I don't know. At Murph underscore NFL. Follow the pod at 5yard rush. Yeah, head over to the Patreon if you want to support the pod on Patreon. We have tiers for £1 a month or slightly more if there's a tax thing, but it really isn't too much. Yeah. Until next week, Rush Nation, I hope you manage to survive the start-sit decisions that have been brought upon us. But, yeah, until next week, as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.